This podcast was produced and recorded by Kellen Peters and John King on this day, October 26, 2009.
Good evening. I'm John King. Tonight on PU World News, we're continuing our feature on social activism and justice. Tonight's feature spotlights the struggles and triumphs of Nelson Mandela, the first democratic president of South Africa. Born Raleigh Lale Mandela on July 18, 1918, in Transkei, South Africa, growing up, Mandela attended classes in a one-room school, one of them being history. It is here that Nelson Mandela developed an interest in African history from elder chiefs. Nelson was told by the elder chiefs how the African people had lived in relative peace until the coming of the white people. Before then, the elders said, the children of South Africa lived as brothers, but the white man shattered this fellowship. The black man shared the land, the air, and the water with the white man, but the white man took all of this for himself. During the ceremony from boyhood to manhood, the main speaker told the boys, which included Nelson Mandela, they were slaves of their own country because their land was under the control of the white man, and that they would never have the power to govern themselves. These words would eventually affect Mandela to formulate his desire for an independent South Africa. In 1939, Nelson Mandela enrolled at University College of Fort Hare, the only residential center of higher learning for blacks in South Africa. The university was considered the equivalent of Oxford or Harvard. For 20 years, Nelson Mandela directed a campaign of peaceful, nonviolent defiance against the South African government and its racist policies, including the 1952 Defiance Campaign and the 1955 Congress of the People. Nelson Mandela founded the law firm Mandela and Tambo. He partnered with Oliver Tambo, a brilliant student he had earlier met at Fort Hare. The law firm provided free and low-cost legal counsel to unrepresented blacks. As we look further into Nelson Mandela's past, here at PU World News, we have a special piece for our Sunday Night Report. We have received audio clips from an interview conducted with Nelson Mandela. These clips were recovered during the late 1980s, just years before his unexpected release from prison. The interviewer's questions have been omitted.
I first became active in politics after the election in 1948. The Nationalist Party at the time supported apartheid, to which I was strongly opposed. I joined the African National Congress movement in about 1952, pushing to end the oppression of black South Africans and apartheid. Oh, sure, Gandhi influenced us. At first it was nonviolent resistance, but when the movement was not receiving enough radical support, the struggle became military. An anti-apartheid South Africa is too important to its people to settle on passive resistance. The massacre at Sharpeville was the turning point in our struggle against repression and violence from the government. Sabotage was the only way to resist the Republic. After the massacre, the African National Congress was banned. We were forced to turn to sabotage to end apartheid. I became the leader of the Umkhonto Sizwe and began to mobilize the underground military movement. We were still a part of the African National Congress at the time. The response by the South African Republic was as expected. They began to mobilize their own military operations, but the struggle had to continue through this. When I was arrested in August of 1962, I had been on the trail of sabotage for about 17 months. I was in disguise at the time, but was discovered and imprisoned at Johannesburg. This first time I was arrested for leading a worker strike and leaving the country illegally. I guess they figured that if they put me behind bars, which they have already, they can stop the anti-apartheid movement. They are mistaken. I am only as powerful as the supporters that follow my lead. We will end this repression. 2 years later, at the Riviona trial, many of the other leaders of the movement and I were charged with sabotage against the government and treason. Our intent was not to overthrow the government. I said it once and I will say it again. I do not deny that I planned sabotage. I did not plan it in a spirit of recklessness, nor part because of any love of violence. I planned it as a result of the calm and sober assessment of the political situation that had arisen after many years of tyranny, exploitation, and oppression of my people by the whites. Unfortunately, the one that had the power to throw me in jail did not agree. We were sentenced to life in prison for sabotage and conspiracy. On that fateful day, June 12, 1964, I was no longer a free man. And this is where I sit now, in the same prison cell, over 20 years later. I would simply like to leave you with these sentiments, the same sentiments that I spoke of at the close of the trail in Ljubljana. I have fought against white domination, and I have fought against black domination. I have cherished the ideal of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunities. It is an ideal which I hope to live for and to achieve, but if needs be, it is an ideal for which I am prepared to die.
After this recording took place, Mandela was soon released from prison. As it turns out, Nelson Mandela was imprisoned for a total of almost 27 years. As a black political prisoner, Nelson Mandela received the lowest level of treatment. He was able to earn a Bachelor of Law degree through a University of London correspondence program while incarcerated. Mandela continued to be such a potent symbol of black resistance that a coordinated international campaign for Mr. Mandela's release was launched. This international groundswell support exemplified the power and esteem that Nelson Mandela had in the global political community. After Nelson Mandela's release, he placed the remaining years of his life in his people's hands. While Nelson Mandela was in prison, his wife Winnie, who is also an activist in the movement toward liberation of South Africa, was subject to continuous harassment and arrest. In 1993, Nelson Mandela received the Nobel Peace Prize on behalf of the South African people who suffered and sacrificed for peace. He shared the Nobel Peace Prize with President F.W. de Klerk for their work towards dismantling apartheid. The apartheid officially came to an end on April 27, 1994. In 1994, South Africa held its first democratic election thanks to Nelson Mandela's perseverance. Nelson Mandela was a South African statesman and first democratic president at the age of 77. He held this position from 1994 through 1999. Mandela's presidential inauguration speech.
We dedicate this day to all the heroes and heroines in the country and the rest of the world who sacrificed in many ways and surrendered their lives so that we could be free. Their dreams have become reality. Freedom is their reward. We are both humbled and elevated by the honor and privilege that you, the people of South Africa, have bestowed on us as the first president of a united, democratic, non-racial, and non-sexist government.
During his tenure in 1995, Nelson Mandela was awarded the Order of Merit for his enthusiastic support in reintegrating football into post-apartheid South Africa. As president, Nelson Mandela used the nation's enthusiasm for sports as a pivot point to promote reconciliation between whites and blacks. In 1996, Nelson Mandela signed into law the new South African Constitution. This established a strong central government based on majority rule and guaranteed rights of minorities and freedom of expression. After his term as president, Nelson Mandela continued his work setting up the Nelson Mandela Foundation, the Nelson Mandela Children's Fund, and the Mandela Rhodes Foundation. In July 2007, Nelson Mandela, along with a group of world leaders including Graca Machel, Desmond Tutu, Kofi Annan, Ella Bat, Gro Harlem Brundtland, Jimmy Carter, Lee Zoxing, Mary Robinson, and Muhammad Yunus to address the world's tough issues. The group was named the Elders, and they were committed to working publicly and privately to find solutions to problems around the globe. Since the Elders have been organized, they have made an impact in Asia, the Middle East, and Africa, promoting peace, women's equality,
and demanding an end to atrocities.
The group has also supported the initiative to address humanitarian crises and promote democracy. Mandela is also committed to the fight against AIDS. AIDS killed Nelson Mandela's son in 2005. The Nelson Mandela National Museum opened its doors on February 11th of 2000. It is visited by thousands of South Africans and international tourists every year. The museum is considered one of South Africa's most significant heritage institutions.
That concludes our feature on Nelson Mandela. Please tune in next week for our next segment on social activism and justice featuring Helen Keller. For all of us here at PU World News, I'm John King. Have a good evening.
This has been a broadcast of PU World News. Sources used in the making of this podcast are BBC.com, NelsonMandela.org, Biography.com, NPR.org, Wikipedia.org, and the Nelson Mandela National Museum.